Turn to Ruth chapter 1. Stand for the reading of the Word of God. Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to read only five verses here and probably walk through portions of this chapter this evening if we get to it all. Ruth chapter 1, I have a lot I want to get to here, if you will. But Ruth chapter 1, we will read responsively. I'll read and then you read. And we will read verses 1 through 5 of Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of the two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the preaching of your word, Lord. I pray that we'll absorb the practical message tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that we leave here being warned and being very careful about our steps that we take from here on out, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this message, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be very simple tonight, very practical. I have a lot I want to get to, if you will, but I want to more or less cry out a warning tonight. You'll see a family here, and every time I read this whole chapter, every time I read this particular portion of Scripture, I want to reach out to Elimelech and just kind of say, think about what you're doing, think about what you're doing. We'll kind of get to that in a little bit. If you don't know the story, you'll understand here in just a few minutes. But I want to speak to you tonight on just doing right. You know, you'll never go wrong doing right. Teenager, you'll never go wrong by doing right. Moms and dads, church member, you'll never go wrong by simply doing right. Doing right is always right to do. I know it's very, very simple thoughts, but it's always the right thing to do. You shouldn't just question it. You have the Holy Spirit there to lead you and guide you. And if he's pricking your heart, especially when it comes to a moment of temptation, you ought to listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't try to go ahead and push him aside. Just do right. If you come to a point in your life, teenager, that someone offers you things that you know is not right, maybe smoking, maybe drugs, maybe pornography or whatever, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, convicting you. You do right. Church members, whenever you're tempted to go ahead and stay home, if you will, or watch the Super Bowl in place of church, or do something different other than reading the Word of God, hey, what I'm trying to say here tonight, do right. Boy, a very beautiful story here, but I want to get to the heart of the message. I have a lot I want to give, and I'm going to just kind of move along real quick tonight. You know, this evening, I can take you to several teenagers that grew up in a godly atmosphere. I can take you to several people that grew up in a godly atmosphere. I'm talking about a good church. Talking about a good home. I'm talking about a good pastor that loves them. I'm talking about a godly mom and dad where you'd walk into their house, and around the dinner table you'd hear them blessing their meal, talking to God. You'd see the Bible everywhere. You'd see devotions going on. I'm talking about faithful. I'm talking about teenagers that grew up in a good home, in a godly atmosphere, with a good church, with a good pastor, with a good home, with a godly mom and dad that supplies for their needs, that brings them to church, that are in church with them, sitting with them. They're faithful to a bus route, a youth group. God called them to do something special, something big for God. And by the way, whatever God calls you to do, it is big. It doesn't matter whether it's to pastor church, or it doesn't matter whether it's cleaning a church auditorium. It is big. If it's God's business, it is big business, and it's the best business in all the world. But I know young people, God's called them to do something special, whether pastoring a full-time Christian service or living a pure life, living for God, desiring to be used in any capacity, no matter what it is, but something happened. A bad friend came along the way, and they yielded to that bad friend. Bad advice started pulling them away from the will of God. A decent job making a bit of money entices them to earn more for college and wait a year. I've seen that happen. I've seen some young men they've called to go into the ministry, and they said, well, preacher, I'm going to go ahead and wait a year. You know, if God's gone ahead and called you, you graduate, you walk across wherever you get your diploma, you walk across that high school, you get your diploma, and you be focused from the very day that God called you, you be focused to the will of God. You be focused to that call. And don't you think, well, I got to wait a year on Bible college. No, you start earning and saving your money. You put it aside and you get to Bible college. But something happened. A bad friend drew them away. Something drew them away from church. Something drew them away from God's men. Something drew them away from respect for a mama and a daddy and taking their advice. Yeah, they fell out of church due to work, perhaps. They fell out of the will of God. They got in trouble with the opposite sex. They became pregnant. They lost their purity. And they lost the perfect will of God because of such behavior. And I've heard many statements from these young people later on in life. I wish I'd listened. I wish I had. You know, let me just stop and say this, teenager. If you're on the borderline of stepping over the boundary tonight, hey, you know what? These words ought to ring in your ears. You do right. You do right. You do right. You do right. You listen to the advice of your preacher. You listen to the word of God. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen to the advice of your godly mama and daddy. Because if you don't, you're going to go ahead and wind up down the road someday saying, I wish I had listened. I wish I had listened. Hey, I want you all here tonight to be able to live a kind of life and say, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. I've heard these statements. I wish I had listened. Tell the other teenagers, they don't want what I'm living through. They don't want what I have. They don't want the very fact that I was up in the church, if you will. I was serving God. I was called to preach. I was called to, I was going to live clean and pure till marriage. I've made all them decisions. I even wrote my name in a little white book. I make it a vow to God that I'll live clean and pure till marriage. But something happened. A bad friend or some bad movie got a hold of your mind and a hold of your heart. Hollywood got a hold of your mind and a hold of your heart. And you went ahead and you went the wrong direction. Another statement from a young lady who messed up still rings in my ears. Tell them to stay put. Tell them to do right. Tell them to go ahead and listen. I heard it. I gave that illustration this morning of a young lady who went ahead, and I've used it before, I know, but who went ahead, grew up in a broken home and so forth, would come and get counsel from me for encouragement. I'd pray with her. Many a times I caught her tears. Many times she'd be weeping about different things that she saw in the home, but she knew that she had a youth pastor that loved her. She knew that she had a preacher that loved her. She knew that she had a youth group she could count on. She knew that she had the Word of God. She knew that she had the Christian school staff that went ahead and loved her. But the truth of the matter is, she started hanging around the wrong crowd. She stopped following the Word of God, and she fell out of the will of God, and she got pregnant out of wedlock. Now she's all by herself raising her kids. And I try to say, you can be restored. You can be restored. You can be restored. She's too embarrassed to go back to church. And I told her, you can be restored. But she wouldn't go ahead and say, I can't do it. I can't go back to church. I'm too embarrassed to go back to church. And the truth is, I walked across the parking lot after seeing her in that store. She says, Hey, Pastor Weeks. Hey, Brother Sean. Tell them they don't want what I have. Tell them they don't want what I have. Hey, you know what? She made some decisions that caused her to say, I wish I had. I wish I had. Hey, what I'm saying, listen and follow the will of God tonight. I can take you to good families. Talk about beautiful families. Families that are here tonight, if you're not careful. Families that I have seen through the church through the years and even helping them and counseling them. I've seen families who are God-fearing, families who are busy at church. They were church-going. They were raising their kids for right. They were desiring to do anything that was right. They served as deacons. They served as Sunday school teachers. They served as ushers. They would serve as choir members and even pastors. I've seen this, but something happened. A wrong look at someone from the church. Well, you know what? They looked at me funny, so I'm not going to darken the doorstep of that church again. You know what? We need to get over that stuff. You know, we really need to get over that stuff. Would you just go ahead and just put yourself in the shoes of the one that may have or may have not looked at you funny? Do you understand? Maybe they're going through a turmoil in their life, and they just barely got here to church themselves to hear about the unsearchable riches of Christ. But yet we want to go ahead and point a finger. They looked at me with a disdainful look. They looked at me where they looked at just a dirty look. It may not have been that they were looking at you dirty. It may be that they're just all mixed up inside. It just maybe that they just needed something from God, and they just was not even in sorts, and they just barely made it to church that evening. Hey, what I'm trying to say is I've seen people go ahead and they'd leave the church to the wrong look. No one shook my hand. Let me just say this. How about shaking their hands? Okay, you know what? The surest way, I've said it before, the surest way to get your hand shook, go shake somebody else's hand. Amen? All right? Maybe a decision that the preacher made maybe didn't suit them. Maybe the preacher preached right to me, and that's not fair. It's not the preacher that preached to you. It's the Holy Spirit that preached to you. You got to deal with it and maybe get it right. They may have not been offered a class or some ministry. Someone else got it, if you will. They've lost their respect for the preacher. They lost their respect for the staff. They lost their respect for the Sunday school superintendent. So they pulled their family from church under the guise of saying, I'll find something better. And you know what? Better never happens generally. I've seen families. I know a family right now. Just got mad and upset with the program of the church. Been in that church for many years. Divorced lady. Raising her kids, really was doing a great job with the kids and so forth. Just got mad with the whole program, just went ahead and left the church and so forth. And ever since then, been going from church to church to church to church to church and so forth. The truth of the matter is, better never came for her. Her family is just kind of scattered all over in different things. Their family's just kind of, they're not even living for God. They were living for God when they were in the good Bible-believing Independent Baptist Church. She was doing really well until something happened. I'm trying to say we got to be careful of our decision. I'm pleading with you tonight. Do right. Do right. Do right in your decision making. They look for something, a better church, if you will. Nothing better perhaps came. Along with leaving the church, you leave the preaching. Think about this. You leave the preaching of the pure word of God. You leave the standards. You leave the proper music. And for so many years, you said amen to that. Think about this, where you are tonight. You know, you're out there. You say, amen, preacher, amen. The music goes ahead and warms your soul. You're excited about the things. Now suddenly all that becomes you and your family. What I'm trying to say is you were excited at one time, but now, because of whatever, we're gone. We're looking for something better. Find whichever the way the wind blows. Oh, there's a little bit of pressure and a little bit of resistance in the Christian life. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know, the Bible says stand strong. Stand, having done all to stand in Ephesians chapter 6. For many years, you were excited about the program. For many years, and we're going to get to this family here in the Bible in just a moment. But just think, this is kind of building a foundation to where we're going tonight. Many years, you said amen to all that, but now, where's your family? Now, where are they? The music that you thought you never listened to is there. The dress standards that you thought you'd never go ahead and see your daughter wear, that you would go ahead and allow in the home, is there. The hairstyles that you never thought your son would have is there. The Hollywood shows that you never used to watch is coming across your television screen. The peace and harmony that you once had with your spouse has been replaced with fighting and screaming and secrecy and resentment. And then often comes divorce. Hey, what I'm trying to say tonight in your decision making, do right. Do right. We're going to see in just a moment, just hang with me a little bit longer, another illustration would be that the times got tough. I had to go ahead and move where you live. The jobs were scarce. I know the economy's tough, but you know what? God's economy is, there's nothing wrong with God's economy tonight. Okay, the news media and everybody can go ahead and say that there's, boy, the world's going to fall apart as far as the economy. Let me just say this, God is in control tonight, amen? There's nothing wrong with God's economy tonight. But we'll leave, jobs are scarce, economy is bad, where you live, it seems better in another city, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you find guaranteed work, and you just say, just for a little while, it's just a temporary thing, just for a little while. Now, I'm not opposed, you've got to go ahead and find a better job if you need to find a better job to supply your needs. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? You ought to be very careful. Listen to me. You ought to make sure it's the will of God whenever you make a big move. I've seen people, families go ahead and they'd uproot themselves from a good church because of a better job, because of extra money. Maybe just, in generally, it's just a little bit of extra money. They'll go ahead and move and they'll tear their kids out of everything that they've known. And it became very, very hard on their kids. They never really consulted them. This is just the way it is. We're going to do it, and so forth. They never really consulted with their kids, and it turned out to be traumatic. I remember when I made the move here, the biggest move of my life, quite a while ago now. The biggest move of my life, I wanted to make sure it was, of course, the will of God. And, of course, from the very get-go, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with the story, but from the very get-go, I knew. But, I wanted to make sure that my family was together in it. You know, I want to make sure that you know, I know it was very, it could, at the very start, it was very difficult for my kids. You know, you leave what you're used to and your friends and school, all kinds of different things. I know, but you know what? I assured them that this is the will of God. And by the way, I just want to say I'm just very thankful that the Spirit was very, very good. There was no rebellion. I remember when I was a kid and just made me very sour. And I wish I never was. I wish I never gave my parents grief, but they moved me when I was 16 years old. I thought that was the worst thing in my life. Thing is, I only moved an hour and a half away from where I grew up. And I thought my whole life was falling apart. You know, I did. And I gave my parents a hard time. It was a very difficult year until I got my heart right, if you will. But you know what? People move without any regards to what their family thinks. Got to be very careful. Make the right decisions. I would never make a move while I felt my kids did not have a chance to be able to create a new life. You know, and again, seeing God from the very start, from the time that we moved, from that December that when you met me to now, I have seen God really make a new life for my kids. And I'm just very thankful for that. But when you make a move, whatever reason, you better consider those who follow you. Namely, your family. You better know it's the will of God. And not just because it looks a little greener on the other side of the fence, not because it may look a little bit better. You just better be very, very careful in your decision making. Some will say, well, these illustrations that you gave about the teenager and about church members and so forth, they're random. No, I can take you to many more other situations where bad decision making broke up the family, where bad choices went ahead and hurt the family and hurt their Christian life, and it caused some horrific circumstances. I've had broken families, adults make similar statements as the teens have said, I wish I had. I've seen moms and dads say, man, I wish I'd gone ahead and done things a little bit differently now that their kids have grown up. And as a result of some of their choices when their kids were young, could have very well caused that child that they had, their teenager, their adult, not living for God. And that's so true. You think about this. Think about this for a minute. That's why, you know what, moms and dads, you know what? We have our children for just a little while. Train up a child the way they should go. But sometimes we become so hasty in all our decision making and different things like that we'll just go ahead and just, well, you know, it's not the will of God, so you know what? Let me ask a question. Before you decide it's not the will of God, did you even pray about it? I'm talking about big decisions now. Did you even pray about it? And I've had parents go ahead and make the same statements. I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd gone ahead and done things differently. We can always look back and so forth. But what I'm trying to say tonight, I'm trying to help you a little bit. I'm trying to heed a warning. Before you make any big, hasty decisions, boy, you ought to go ahead and get on your knees before God and make sure everything is right. Make sure that is the exact will of God. Make sure it's exactly what God wants you to do. Such is the case. Just give me a little bit of liberty as in this story tonight. But I want to believe that Elimelech's family, if you will, was a godly family. I want to believe that they were a Christian, godly family. They went to church. By the way, the Bible teaches they lived in Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread or praise, which can be equaled, if you will, to blessing or the will of God. Elimelech's name means my God is king. His wife Naomi's name means pleasant. They had two boys. I want to liken them to a typical godly family. I'm talking about families that are like you. You come to Faith Baptist Church. You're sitting there with your families. That's a good thing. But they're typical, godly, God-fearing families. They're church-going. They're loyal. Daddy would go ahead and make sure there was no decision whether he'd get up in the morning on Sunday morning about whether they're going to church. He'd go to church. There was no decision whether he'd go to church on Sunday night. They just went ahead and went to church. There was no decision whether they'd go to church on Wednesday night. Hey, they just went ahead and they went to church. They were a godly family. They were in church. Elimelech would be the epitome of a good father. He was the breadwinner. He raised his family for the Lord. He led in family devotions. He taught his boys to be young men and learn how to work. Let me just say this. You know, you got some boys in your home. Boy, teach them how to be men. Boy, we're sissified today. We are so, you know. A little warm. You know, let me just say this. Young man, if you're going to shake my hand, shake it like a man. Yeah. Okay, I'm not saying, I mean, you know what, not like a five-year-old boy. I understand a five-year-old boy is not big, their hand's not bigger than mine, and they're not going to go ahead and shake it with, you know. But you know what, teenager, shake it like a man. And look me in the eye. You know, I'm just telling you what I learned growing up as a kid. My dad always said, you know what, when you go ahead and shake anybody's hand, when you shake a man's hand, you shake him with a firm grip. Don't be sissy. And go ahead and look him in the eye, or otherwise they have no right to trust you. You know, look him in the eye. You know, don't, hello? You know, listen to me. You know what? Men, we need to teach our men, our young boys, how to be men. Ladies, teach your ladies, your girls, how to be ladies. Boy, we need that again. We need ladies to go ahead and teach our girls to be ladylike. You know, we just need some ladylikeness again. We need some manhood again. You know, Elimelech, I can see him. He taught a Sunday school class. Maybe he was a church deacon. Maybe he had a horse and chariot ministry, if you will. Picking up boys and girls and so forth for Sunday school. Again, give me a little bit of liberty, but you know what? There was godliness in this family. I can see there was godliness here, if you will. He taught Sunday school, perhaps. He had ministries. He was a chariot captain instead of a bus captain. Elimelech was a hardworking man. Naomi was no doubt a godly mama, rearing two boys, nurturing them, teaching them proper manners, nursed them, helped them when they fell and scraped their knee. She loved the Lord, perhaps taught a class at church, perhaps she sang in the choir. The Bible says there was a famine in the land. Some problems came. You know what? Let me just say this. Just when you think things are going well and you're serving God, let me tell you something. The devil's not excited when they see a family in church, sitting in church on a Sunday night. The devil's not excited when he sees a family getting up on a Sunday morning and saying, hey, we're going to church and we're going to be in church. And we're going to sit there as a family. We're going to be involved in church. The devil's not too excited about that. The devil's not excited when we come to church on a Wednesday night, midweek service. Ah, you don't want to go to church on midweek service. Hey, he's not excited about that. And just when you think things are going well, let me tell you something. There's going to be a famine that's going to come. There's going to be a little bit of trial that's going to come. There's going to be a little bit of a problem that's going to come. And you're going to come to a point of decision. What do you do? What do you do? Well, do I go to church or not? You know what? The right thing to do, go to church, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do I go ahead and pray or not? Yes, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Do I go ahead and read my Bible or not? Yes, study to show thyself approved unto God. Do I go ahead and continue to live my standards and live clean and pure? Yes, I'm going to go ahead and live clean and pure. Just about the time you think everything's smooth, just about the time that everything's wonderful, let me tell you something, the devil's right there. He's your enemy and he'll do everything he can to blow some harsh winds your way. Times got tough for Elimelech. Could it be that Elimelech was maybe got a pink slip at work and said, hey, you're going to be laid off? How about my bills? What am I going to do? How will they get paid? Let me just stop and say this. What we need is we need faith again. Yes, I know times can be tough, but whatever happened to getting on our knees and begging God, God supply my needs. Whatever happened to that? My God shall supply all my needs. That's a promise given in the Word of God. Hey, listen, we need to get on our knees. I know times can be tough, but whatever happened to prayer? Whatever happened to bowing the knee? Whatever happened to going to a big God who knows exactly where you are? But oftentimes we'll just go ahead and we'll ignore God and we'll try to figure things out our own way. We'll go ahead and take on more than we can handle by going and getting another job. And by the way, I'm not against that. I'm not against you going ahead and doing what you have to do to go ahead and pay your bills. Don't misunderstand me. But let me tell you something. You know what? As you may have to take on a little bit more of work to go ahead and bring in a little bit more money to pay your bills, how about you making sure you find a season in prayer saying, okay, God, I need the strength. Okay, God, you know my situation. Okay, God, I'm laying my bills out to you. I need you. I know you're a big God. I know you can go ahead and handle this. But times got tough for Elimelech. Where will I find a job that meets my needs and my family's needs? All the questions would ring through his head. How? Why? Why would this happen? Maybe the next morning, he reads in the paper, food and jobs in Moab. By the way, Moab is a type of world. It's a type of sin. He tells his family, we're going to pack up. The Bible says in verse 1, now when it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn. So that word sojourn means they were just going to stay for just a little while. We're not going to be very long. The famine went ahead, maybe brought him to the point where he just didn't know what to do. We've been there, amen. Sometimes you just don't know what to do. And the time came, and I could see maybe him getting his family together and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to have to leave home for a little while. We're going to just sojourn on down to Moab. Times are really tough, and there's some food, and there's some bread, and there's perhaps jobs down there. I'm going to go on down. We're going to go on down there. We're just going to be there for just a little while. We're not going to stay very long. Maybe we'll just put the house up here for rent or whatever, and we'll be back after a little while. I don't know, but his intentions were no doubt were good. His intentions were just to get on his feet, make a living for his family. That's noble and it's right. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. They pack up, they move to Moab just for a little while. But that little while lasted 10 years. That little while went ahead, and during that 10 years, boy, what traumatic change in a little Malan and Chilean's life in that 10 years. What a dramatic change in the life of Elimelech. What a dramatic change in the life of a sweet, godly lady whose name is Pleasant in that 10 years. Elimelech, that godly man, made an unwise decision, and through that 10 years, he died. Those 10 years, Malan and Chilean got married, but later on, they died as well. Boy, things weren't looking too good for Naomi, now were they? You just say this, you want to go ahead and make some poor decisions, you want to go ahead and make some poor choices, you want to go ahead and go to the world of sin, if you will, and fall into sin, let me tell you something, you will not do it by yourself. You know what, one innocent little decision, and give me a little liberty, again, I think it maybe just was a little, was an innocent decision. I think maybe his heart was right when he said, we're just going to go just for a little while. We just need to, I just need to get on my feet. I can maybe see the frustration there. No, he's a man. He wanted his family to be supported. He wanted to be the breadwinner. He wanted to make sure that his family was cared for. That's noble. That is right. But now this leaves Naomi, leaves Ruth and Orpah alone. You know, it's been said that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you wanted to stay, and it'll cost you far more than you want to pay. And that's what happened to this family. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Number one, sin is no respecter of persons. The devil wants to send people to hell. But at the same time, he would love to see a godly family or a godly couple to pull the plug on God and grieve him with their lives. You know, sin is no respecter of persons. God, the devil will do anything he can to try to tear you up and try to get your decision-making out of whack and try to get you from doing right. He'll do everything he can. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's right. You know, to Elimelech, no doubt it looked well. It looked good. Moab, man, it's going to be beneficial if I go down there. I'm going to be able to make money. I'm going to be able to support my family. But it was not the right choice. Truth of the matter is, he was in the will of God in Bethlehem, Judah. He was in the house of bread. Teenagers who have their music, they think it's only affecting them or no effect at all. It doesn't affect them at all. You know, that's wrong. It does affect you. It affects you to a point where you get rebellious. You know what? You at that point of decision in your music, let me tell you something, you do right. You do right. You stick with the old songs of Zion. You stick with the music that you hear around here. Don't you pick up a Britney Spears and a Christina Aguilera. Don't you fall for this lie that it doesn't affect you, has no effect on you whatsoever. If it has no effect on you, then why are you dressing like them? If it has no effect like you, then why are we putting our britches halfway down over our rear end? If it has no effect like you, why are we going ahead and getting a little more punky in our hairstyles? If it has no effect on you, why are we going ahead and putting on our, and it's not here tonight that I know of, but why are we having some of our Christian young men who say, it'll never happen to me, it doesn't affect me, but why are we going ahead and dressing like them? Why are we putting in our earrings, boys, men putting in their earrings? Why, boys, are you putting on your necklaces? Why would you want to wear a necklace? Man, that is. Why would you want to? Why are we dressing like them? Why, boys, you put in your earrings? Why do you have piercings all over your bodies, gals and guys? Why are you wearing the spiked hair and the punk hairstyles giving you that worldly look? You know, you got it from somewhere, and you dead sure didn't get it from church. Amen. You got it from somewhere. And you know what? You turn on Hollywood, you see it all over Hollywood. You can go ahead and turn on other stations and music channels. You see it all over them. You know what? You didn't dead sure get it from this preacher. And you never will. You didn't dead sure get it from your deacon here. He hasn't got enough hair to go ahead and style it that way. Amen? Amen. Sorry, Brother Joe. Amen. He's amening me. You dead sure didn't get it around here. You're getting it from somewhere. Amen. You're getting it from somewhere. Why are we dressing like them if it's not affecting you? Why are we wearing our hair the way it is? Why are we putting on the goth clothes and wearing the skeletons that depict Satan and the devil? Oh, it doesn't have effect on me. Why is it that you can't go ahead and look at the preacher when he's preaching? Why is it that you can't go ahead and just absorb the things of the Word of God? Why is it that you may be a little bit distant in the youth group? Why is it that you don't desire the things of God? Why aren't you hungry for the things of God there, young person? What is it? What is it? There's some hidden, deep, dark sin. Maybe is there music that you don't think anybody knows about, and you may have got it hidden on mom and daddy. Maybe you're just so open about it anyways, and whatever mom and daddy says, you defy them anyways. Where did you get your defiance, man? Where did you get that rebellion, which is a sin of witchcraft? Where did you go ahead and get it? It came from the music that you so desire to go ahead and listen to. And what I'm saying, hey, you know what, teenager, don't you go ahead and fall for that lie of music. You make a right choice in your area of music. You made these bands and you made these rock stars your heroes and their lifestyle, your lifestyle, what they wear, their earrings, and guys wearing necklaces, girls pouring themselves into tight jeans, wearing britches down below your rear end. You got it from somewhere. You made a god out of them. My Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods, little G-O-D-S, before me. You've done well to let Eminem and Britney Spears influence you. You've done well to let Avril Lavigne and Hannah Montana influence you. You've done well to let Mick Jagger and Toby Keith and Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and Christina Aguilera and My Chemical Romance and Clay Aiken and Vince Gill and American Idol and Kid Rock and AC/DC. They've gone ahead and influenced you. They've got your style. You've got their style of music. Their ways have become your ways. Their thoughts have become your thoughts, if you will. And my Bible says our thoughts ought to be of God's thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How in the world can we have the mind of Christ when we're pumping that trash into the brain that God gave us? How can we? You know, sometimes, when is this going to get over? I'll just keep on preaching, man. We need it. Trying to get you teenagers living right, and I'm trying, you know, moms and dads, let me tell you something. You know, you just ought to take a stand for that kind of garbage, that kind of music in your home. Just say, it's not going to be in my home. You know, some people don't like it, but I'm just going to say it anyways. You know what? I have a right to go ahead and see whatever goes on my children's iPod. You know why? They're under my roof. When they make their decisions, that's their business. But I'm going to do everything I can to train up a child in the way they should go. I'm going to do everything I can to go ahead and teach him right. I'm going to do everything I can to be consistent. You know what? Whatever goes across their phone, whatever goes across their iPod, whatever they text, you know what? Oftentimes I'll go ahead and say, who are you texting? I want to know. You ain't going to catch me texting, that's for sure. All right? We can laugh tonight. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we need to have, moms and dads, we need to have a stand against that stuff. We need to have a stand against the rock music. We need to have a stand against loose dress. We need to have a stand against American Idol and Kid Rock and all that kind of stuff. Don't let them become your children's God. Make God your God. You know, it might be some teenagers need to get back to making God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your God again. You know, some of them decisions that you've made throughout the summer, where are they in your heart tonight? Maybe, hey, moms and dads, you've made decisions too. You come to the altar. Where are they tonight? Where are the decisions tonight? We made heroes out of Paul Pierce and Michael Jordan and Big Poppy and Kevin Youkilis and a Charles Barkley and a Larry Bird and your football stars and baseball stars and hockey stars. And we made heroes out of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You do all you can to act like them. Why not decide, child? You know, you'll do everything you can. I'll get my own thoughts here. You do everything you can to go ahead and act like them. Why don't you go ahead and decide tonight, I'm going to act like Jesus. I'm going to dress like Jesus wants me to dress. I'm going to read what Jesus wants me to read. I'm going to listen to the music that Jesus wants me to listen to. I'm going to raise my kids the way that Jesus would want me to raise my kids according to the Word of God. I'm going to go ahead and do right. I'm going to do right. I don't want to make some poor choices that will go ahead and affect me and your future children, teenager. I don't want you to go ahead and make choices, mom and dad, that will go ahead and affect you and your children that you have right now that God has given you to raise. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you want their music. You want their piercings. You want their rude behavior. Many are heroes. Let me say, many of these heroes, they're drug addicted today. They're drug addicted, and they're your hero. All they sing about is sex. They'll sing about drugs. They'll sing about shacking up. A lot of the country music, 99.9999999% may as well just go 100% of it. Most of it goes ahead and sings about shacking up and running off on your wife. If you went ahead and played your country music backwards, you get your wife back, you get your house back, you get your dog back, you get everything back. Hey, what I'm trying to say, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know what? The music of this world is of the devil. He's going to do everything he can. You know what? Music is such a big tool today. Music is such a big tool in trying to get my time here. I'm doing just fine. Music is such a big tool to try to draw your kids away from doing right. Hey, moms and dads, have a stand against it. Hey, what I'm saying tonight, sin is no respecter of persons. I'll move right along here. Number two. Sin will go ahead and destroy the potential God and others have invested in you. I pastor a church with the idea that I want our young people to turn out right. Man, you don't know how I pray for your young people, and I hope moms and dads, you pray for your young people to turn out right. I'm not saying necessarily pastoring a church someday. I just want them to turn out to be good, godly citizens. Now, if they're called to preach, you ought to get behind them. If they're called to the mission field, you get behind them. They're called to go ahead and go off and serve God full time, you get behind them. And you support them every single step of the way. By the way, you know what? One of the surest ways to help your kids continue with that excitement about preaching one day, about serving God full time one day, is mom and dad, you make sure you get them in church. You make sure you get them into every time the church doors are open, you make sure you get them in church. You make sure you get them under the preaching. You help, you encourage them to be involved. Oh, you don't want to get involved in the bus ministry. Why not? Why not? You know what? The bus ministry is one of the greatest ministries in learning how to deal with people. If you have a child, if you have a son that's going to go ahead and be a pastor, I'd encourage them, if you will, to get them in the bus ministry. You know what? It helps teach them how to deal with people. You know what? The ministry is people, man. It is. We have people here today, amen? You know what? And if the ministry wasn't people, we wouldn't be here tonight, amen? Be home watching the Yankees, Red Sox. I don't know how it turned out. I don't want, whatever. Right now, it's not time. But the truth of the matter is, listen, encourage your kids to go ahead and be involved. I pastor with an idea. I want your teens, I want our young people to turn out right. You ought to parent with the idea. I parent with the idea that I want my kids to desire God's will for their life. I want my kids to always desire Bethlehem, Judah. I want my kids to go ahead and grow up, if you will, in Bethlehem, Judah. The house of blessing, the house of bread, the will of God. I want my kids to not have a picture that the world is so pretty. And by the way, the devil will make everything, the world look very enticing and look very pretty and so forth. And I want to do everything I can to seclude my kids and tell them, you don't want that world. You don't want the drugs. You don't want the pornography. You don't want the bad friends. You don't want the rock music. I parent with an idea that I want my kids to turn out right and for them to do the will of God. Sin will destroy the potential God and others have invested in you. Elimelech hurt the potential of his family when he moved. Two children died. Took them out of the will of God. Perhaps when they got out of the will of God, you know what? How they lived way back in Bethlehem, Judah wasn't so enticing anymore because they had a taste of the world all over. One driving motivator for me in staying by the stuff, if you will, by staying by the old Bible and staying by the old music and serving God and living right, not only is God, I want him to be my main motivator, but I thank God for those people that have invested and influenced my life for right. I'm thinking of Pastor Christner. I'm thinking of my mom and dad. Boy, they taught me that going to church is right. Wasn't questioned. We lived on a farm. There wasn't a question whether we went to church on Sunday or not. I'm thinking of Brother Hiles. thinking of Sunday school teachers that I had. I'm thinking of school teachers that I had. Boy, it'd do us all well not to forget about our godly roots. If you had good influences in your life, you ought to allow them to be a motivator to do right. Oh, God ought to be first place. That Holy Spirit ought to be always cranking in your soul and motivating you to always make the right decisions and the right choices for you to do right. But let me tell you something. Boy, you know, let me just say this, teenager. You ought to thank God if you have a pastor. You ought to thank God for your youth leader. You ought to thank God for your Sunday school teachers. You ought to allow them to motivate you in doing right. If Elimelech had stayed in the will of God and been kind, the kind of example as a dad should have been, who knows where the children would have wound up. They could have been serving God maybe in some big way, but instead they wound up in the world, marrying into the world and dying in the world. They lost all potential. Elimelech's so-called good intentions went awry on him. It not only took his life, but his children, and therefore limited the life of his children, all because he went to the world. You just cannot play with sin and get away with it. You just can't wander out in the world and say, well, it's not going to affect me. It will affect you. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Go ahead, sneak those drugs. Your sin will be found out. Go ahead, sneak that pornography. Sneak that internet porn. Your sins will find you out. Go ahead and sneak that cigarette. Your sin will find you out. Go ahead and sneak the wicked chat rooms. Your sin will find you out. Go ahead and sneak the illicit affair. Your sin will find you out. Go ahead and sneak that music or that Hollywood lifestyle. Your sin will find you out. And number three. As a result of sin, it leaves a terrible mark. After the death of Elimelech and the children who he left to bear, and the children, after Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech, there was one person who was left to bear the brunt of it. I should say, as well as Ruth. Naomi bore the brunt of it. Naomi, as I mentioned earlier, that name means pleasant. I'm just going to turn over a page here. Naomi decided, and of course we know the story, that Ruth, how Ruth stuck with Naomi. Beautiful story. But I don't have time to get into that right now. And Naomi decides, hey, we're going to go back home. You girls, Ruth, Orpah, you don't have to stay with me. I just need to go back home. Ruth goes ahead and stays with her. She goes back home in verse number 19 of chapter 1. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, the will of God, where they should have been in the first place. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? That was a question. You know, the city was, they kind of, yeah, it looks like Naomi. I mean, the features. Is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Sin definitely left a mark on Naomi. Sin left a mark, of course, with Elimelech and the children. They died. Now Naomi's bearing the brunt of it. Sin went ahead and left a terrible mark. Go ahead and play with sin. It's going to mark you up. You want to play with it all? It's going to go ahead and mark you up. Naomi did not have the pleasant look she once had. She had had the look that only sin can bring. And number four, sin will leave you empty. Think of Naomi now. I'd like to think years ago, prior to all this, no doubt, obviously they were in the will of God. They were in Bethlehem, Judah. Perhaps serving in a church. And families, I'm trying to get you, picture you tonight, picture where you are tonight. This fine family, perhaps serving in the church, perhaps reading the Word of God, see the kids happy, Naomi happy, pleasant. Elimelech, my God is king. Now, they're empty. You may think that this is fun, but you know what? Your sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's fun for a little while. It's only fun for a season, the Bible says. It's going to come a time, though, it's going to mark you up terribly. Hey, young people, you may think that rebellion, oh, this is cool, you know, I'm my own authority. You may think it's fine for a little while, but eventually you're going to pay a dear price. You may think that music, it doesn't matter who it is, music is such a big temptation for anybody and everybody today. You may think that music doesn't affect you. You may think that television show doesn't affect you. You know what? What you put in your mind eventually comes out. Hey, listen, it'll leave you empty. The family left full, the children intact. They were in the will of God, but now no children, no husband, no joy, but the bitter end of sin. It's been said that your decisions determine your destiny. Boy, it certainly determined the destiny of an Elimelech and his family, didn't it? You know, it's nice when I talk to Christians, faithful to church all through the years, and they'll tell you a testimony, boy, they've been tempted to be swayed and kind of pulled aside in different things and go on to into this evangelical crowd or change your, you know, I know good, godly men and families that have been swayed, but they stood their ground. They made no hasty decisions about moves, about anything. And it's nice to hear testimonies of marriages that have been going on for 50 years. Their children going off and doing some right things, good godly citizens. That's them are good testimonies. Mom and Dad, I hope you have a vision for your kids to grow up and desire the will of God. I hope you'll go ahead and decide, hey, I'm not going to be moved, I'm not going to be swayed, I'm going to go ahead and do exactly what God wants me to do. Moms and dads, ultimately, what your kids see you do, they may go ahead and do it twice more down the road. You're their example. You ought to lead them by example. Tonight I ask you, where are you? Point of decision? I tell you, in this day and age, you know, there's so, you know, I hear of churches going, leaving their old roots and going off into evangelicalism and community minded and all this other stuff and whatever. I'm not opposed to being community minded, don't misunderstand, but the community style, changing their music, changing their Bible and so forth. There's pressure out there to do that. But this preacher won't be moved. This preacher's not going to be moved. You know why? Because I have a desire. I think the greatest words, other than the words "I love you" from the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be "well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to be able to hear that, and I hope I will. And my desire as pastor of this church is I want you to be able to hear that as well. But if you're not careful, you know what? Decisions will go ahead, and if you don't make them right, if you don't do right, you know what? That's going to go ahead and mess you up. Your decision will determine your destiny. You know, you may think, well, I can go ahead and rub up against a girl and not be married and so forth, and it's not going to affect me. What are you, queer? Amen. Say, that's a little bit blunt. Well, don't use that word in your home, okay? You still can't tell me that. You can't tell me that. Now, I'm a man. Last I knew, anyways. Amen? We could laugh tonight. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. Don't you say that. Well, you know, I got it all under control. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have it all under control. You know, you have no right to go ahead and preach about that and say stuff about that. You know, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen? I have a license to go ahead and neck and pet and all that good stuff right here. And teenagers, children, this is your license to do it too. You make a decision, I'm not going to be affected. I'm only going to go ahead and hold the hand. Then what? This is a little bit boring. All I can do is hold a hand. You know, then what? You say, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I've counseled many of them who said the same thing. It doesn't affect me. It won't affect me. Yes, it will. You know, you do your little... Look at me. I'm the man here. You know what I'm talking about. And then it goes further and further. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you way more than you ever want to pay. You know, decisions ought to be made, teenagers, and you might need to reset the button and say, you know what? As you grow, you know, things change in your body. You need to reset that button and say, I'm going to live clean and pure. I'm going to live clean and pure. I'm going to live according to the Word of God. Might be some parents that just need to go ahead and reiterate some things in your home tonight. Maybe, you know, and I know it's easy just to get so busy and you just get so, it's easy to get lax. But you know what? We are responsible for our children. We're responsible for them. We only have them for 18 years, give or take. Some people say, I hope it's only, you know, my kid's still here at 25. Well, technically 18 years. Boy, you know what? Do what you can with them kids and teach them this book right here. Get them in church. Teach them the principles of the Word of God. You know, you mom and dad, you teach your kids how to date. You teach them how to date. You teach them how to act. You gotta teach that young man how to go ahead and treat a lady. You know, I'm getting off on a rap, but teach them. Teach them how to live right. Teach your boys how to work. It's another thing I could go off on tonight. We need to have a good work ethic. I got a splinter. Pull it out and go to work. Amen. I got a blister. Oh, okay, pop it and just go back to work. Amen. I tell you, if I went to my dad with some of the excuses I've heard teenage boys go ahead and give me, he'd have made it worse for me. He said, "You ain't gonna go ahead and get done work." Been there, done that, man. You know, so what? Okay, you have a blister. Okay, pop it, move on. Wrap it up with a Band-Aid, whatever the case may be. I broke a nail. You know the good thing about fingernails? They grow back. They do. Hey, you know, listen, I know. Your decisions determine your destiny. Do right. If Elimelech had just decided to do right from the get-go, Naomi wouldn't have gone ahead and gone back to Bethlehem, Judah. People saying, is this Naomi? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Why did God deal bitterly with her? Because of a poor choice. And she going to the world. And the world just went ahead and chewed her up and spit her out. By the way, that's what the devil does. Chew you up and spit you out with no compassion whatsoever. Our Heavenly Father, I've gone long enough. God, I just try to give my heart very simple, just a warning tonight. I want more than anything for this church, these families, these young people, to grow up and be exactly what you'd have them to be. I pray, dear God, that there'd be some teenagers that say, I'm going to live clean and pure. Maybe they're battling music. They're going to put it aside. They're going to rededicate themselves to you. I pray young people, children, pray families, moms and dads will go ahead and maybe have to reiterate some things in their home. I don't know what it is tonight, Holy Spirit, but I pray, God, that through it all, we'll just always take the side of right. I pray we'll do right. Pray we'll always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to your leading. Even when the tough times come, we'll be so tempted to go ahead and change our ways and change and do different things. I pray, dear God, tonight that we just do right. When the battles come, we'll do right. When we're on the mountaintop, we'll do right. No matter what position we're in, that we'll always do right. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here tonight, God spoke to your heart. Would you just raise your hand? I won't call you by name, but would you please pray for me? Pray for me. That's me. Anybody else? There you go. Anybody else? God spoke to my heart tonight. Our Heavenly Father, bless this invitation. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. God spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe families need to make some decisions. Maybe teenagers. Maybe young people. Maybe some folks just need to come to the altar and just talk it over with God. Whatever the case may be, the music's going to play. Won't you make a decision tonight?
Anyways, we can laugh tonight. It's all over, all right? It's all over. Anyways, that would went right down over the bank there. Anyways, Brother Francis will be here Wednesday night. Make sure you're in your place, 6:30. And, of course, Patch a Pirate at 6:30. And Patch Kids will be singing next Sunday morning, amen? So that'll be a treat as well. And so I think that's all I have to say. So, Brother Robles, won't you come up and close in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, for the great message we've heard tonight, Lord. Thank you that we need preaching like this, Lord, to challenge us in every area of life. And Father, help us this week to realize how important it is that every decision we make, Lord, we make, Father, looking at you, looking onto Jesus. And Father, help us as decision will determine our destiny, to look onto you and to follow you faithfully, Lord, till you come. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we are dismissed. Give us a safe ride home and give us a safe journey home and bring us back together again on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name, amen.